The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. The NIDDK says that there's 847,000 adults who have interstitial cystitis. The CDC says there's 38,468 confirmed U.S. Lyme disease cases. I think that's too low. What percentage of the 3,693 respondents to an ICA survey said they have both IC and Lyme? Find out after the first break. Until today, no one really looked at the possible connection between Lyme and IC. We will. First up is my nurse practitioner, Angela Myers, of the Medical Healing Center of Tallahassee, Florida. Today's sponsor, Pat Crescito, CEO of Desert Harvest, will tell us how their aloe vera products can help both Lyme and IC patients. Mona Schlossberg and Tom Savage will tell us how they cope having both illnesses. Here's Angela.
We have with us today my personal nurse practitioner, Angela Myers from Tallahassee, Florida. She treats my Lyme and also my IC. So thank you, Angela, for being part of the show today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
It's my pleasure to have you here. So today's program is talking about, is there a possible connection between interstitial cystitis, commonly known as IC, and Lyme disease? Is there?
I believe there is. A lot of our Lyme patients do have interstitial cystitis. A high number, I'd say over, 50% of the female and males can get it as well.
So, mm-hmm.
Yes, I do believe so.
So if it is possible, what would be the connection between the two? What do you think is links the two?
I think it has to do with a number of things. I think that, when you look at Lyme, what it does is either we think that it creates an autoimmune dysfunction or an autoimmune dysfunction either occurs and the Lyme jumps on board.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at interstitial cystitis, there's a lot of literature that supports that, yes, this is an autoimmune dysfunction. It has to do with the mast cells, which create the pain and inflammation. And so, and one of the other things that we see is that when we start treating the Lyme or whatever organism is the offending organism,
mm-hmm.
the cystitis gets better, usually.
Uh-huh.
And when we start treating the immune system and getting the immune system functioning better. So I do believe that there's a connection just with the pathologically and with the dysfunctioning of the immune system.
Oh. Sure. Okay. So when you treat Lyme patients, do you ask, do you have any bladder symptoms?
We actually ask about everything.
Uh-huh.
We ask about all symptoms because Lyme can attack. What we have seen is there tends to be a predisposition to where the Lyme is going to present and or a trauma or injury to that area.
Uh-huh.
So it can really present in all kinds of ways. So yeah, we do ask that.
Okay. If a person comes to you and has what they think is a UTI and you do a urinalysis and you find they don't have one, do you ask them, have you ever been bitten by a tick?
Yes, we do. We ask most of our patients.
Yeah.
If they, and we, our group of patients tend to be on the majority of them are people that, you know, go to other places and they have some kind of mysterious thing going on with their body. So, you know, we do ask that question a lot.
Okay. So if a person comes to you and you determine that they do have Lyme or they do have interstitial cystitis, how do you treat that?
Well, we have a multi-approach to that. And what we have found out is all patients are different.
Mm-hmm.
But we always look at the offending pathogen, because there's always a pathogen, and usually it's more than one pathogen. You know, most patients will have bacteria, viruses, parasites. I mean, it could be a number of things that any one person can have. So we look at what the person is infected with. We look at the brain. We do neurotransmitter tests because the brain controls many, many functions in the body, including pain,
mm-hmm.
As well as the endocrine system. It's a really big piece. So we do neurotransmitter testing and we do treat the brain. We look at the toxicity of people. There's usually a toxic exposure that's involved with this.
Hmm.
So we look at that. We look at nutrition. And a big one for us is the GI system, the digestive system, because 80% of the immune cells lie in the gastrointestinal system.
Oh.
So it's real important to take a look at that. And we look at cell function, because most people that, you know, have a chronic illness, they have a lot of cellular dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And you also look at the endocrine system. The endocrine system is usually always affected in chronic illness of any kind. And so we use bioidentical hormones or, you know, whatever we need to do to treat the endocrine system, whether it's the pituitary, the thyroid, ovaries, whatever.
Okay. So when you're doing all this, how do you know for sure that they have a co-infection, or it's the Lyme, or it's the IC? How do you determine what it is?
Sometimes we don't, but what we see is, you know, we can determine what the pathogens are.
Okay.
By testing, usually.
Testing, okay.
And sometimes, you know, particularly with the Borrelia burgdorferi, which is the pathogen for Lyme, or some of the co-infections like Babesia or Bartonella, you don't get a positive test. It's very difficult to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
But so we do a lot of diagnosis by clinical symptoms and by history.
Okay.
So
if a person comes to you and they've got IC symptoms, but they haven't talked to you about a tick bite, do you make the connection, automatically assume that there might have been a tick bite?
I do. I honestly, as I say, just such a high number of our folks have interstitial cystitis that I know that there's a relationship to some kind of pathogenicity, or I really feel like there is, and to autoimmune dysfunction. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it could be caused by Lyme disease.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll have some research in the future that can tell us that. And if you were to suggest to researchers what they could work on, what sort of things would you suggest?
I really think that they need to look at the pathogenicity or the pathogen involvement in IC, as well as look at more closely at autoimmune dysfunction and how to correct that.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that, not by giving drugs that suppress the immune system, but by correcting the immune system itself, like through the GI tract or cellular function, by giving immune-supporting supplements and things like that, and just good nutrition and taking care of yourself.
Okay. So you mentioned to me earlier about a study you read about where they looked at a connection with cystitis with mice.
Yeah, they did a study. It was called Cystitis Induced by Infection with the Lyme Disease Spirochete Borrelia burgdorferi in Mice. And it was in the American Journal of Pathology. It was 1992, November. And basically their results demonstrated that nearly all the mice, which was 93%, and they tested four types of mice, had cystitis associated with a spirochete infection, which they induced.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a pretty good study supporting that there is some pathogenicity to IC.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they will follow up on things like that and also what you have to say to them so that they can see if there is an actual connection,
mm-hmm.
see which comes first. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have any clue? Do you think that the tick bite would be the first hit and then the IC symptoms would come later?
Actually, what I believe, and I think this is why we see some people that can get tick bites and they never get ill,
mm-hmm.
and then there's some people that get tick bites and they get ill. I think a lot of that has to do with toxic exposure. I mean, we are living in a very toxic world,
mm-hmm.
And it's not just with chemicals, it's with electromagnetic frequencies that can really disrupt the body's functioning,
mm-hmm.
The foods we eat, we don't eat the foods of the season, and a lot of us, what we do, eat the same foods every day, which we're going to create an allergy, which can affect the immune system. So, I think a lot of it has to do with the toxic exposure and genetic predisposition. I think there are people that have autoimmune dysfunction, genetic predispositions in their family, so they're more prone to it. And I also think that people that don't detox well, there's people that really can't detox because their methylation system is compromised, and so they don't detox,
mm-hmm.
and they just keep building up toxins and toxins and toxins. And just about all our chronic illness people, they do have a methylation problem, pretty much,
mm-hmm.
and so they really can't detox. And so that's one of the things that I believe causes just some people to present with Lyme and other people not to.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, if we've had emotional trauma, that affects our ability to defend ourselves against things that come at us.
Well, we treat with the emotional end of this, too, because our belief is that every illness has an emotional component.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, we refer, depending on what the needs are, to get that taken care of. We usually try to get the patient functioning really well, because when people start dealing with these emotional traumas, it can be very emotional.
Yeah.
And so you really want your patient to be a little bit, better,
mm-hmm.
and be able to take it. But yeah, that's a component that has to be dealt with, because you can only get a person usually to a certain level, and then they just won't get better.
Mm-hmm.
And, that means you've missed something.
Right.
And a lot of times it's that emotional component that we don't deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In my working with clients over the years, I would tell them, and my whole show is based on the idea of the six areas that we have to have balance in our life, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, and social. And if any one of those areas is out of balance, it's going to affect the others.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do everything about eating right, taking the right supplements, seeing the greatest health practitioner like yourself, but unless you work on that emotional component, it could undermine all the good things you're doing.
And what we found in our practice with emotional components is that the brain really functions like a computer, and it stores information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what we found with people, that it could just be as minute as somebody mistreating them when they were 6 years old and they had on a red dress.
Mm-hmm.
And red now, they don't know why, but they get anxious about it.
Yes.
So, you really don't know, what the trigger is. And so it's just very interesting how our brains do work. And we recommend a lot of EMDR,
uh-huh.
Which actually tricks the brain so that you can't, the brain can't kind of go in and say, oh, we don't want to go into that area.
Mm-hmm.
We found that to be very effective with our folks, too.
Yeah, the EMDR, I have personally gone through that, as well as doing the Psy-K, which I haven't explained fully to my listeners, but I had a program on about it. And that changes your unconscious beliefs,
mm-hmm.
to reframe them, like the EMDR does. And it made a world of difference in how I felt about me. And not just how I felt about me, but how I took care of me. Because it helps you to feel like you're worth taking care of.
Well, yeah, and there's studies out there that have been done that actually have proven that if we don't deal with these emotional issues, they get stored as physical in the physical body and create illness.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a component. And I think, you know, part of our problem in Western medicine has been that we really haven't delved into that treatment of emotional illness with physical illness.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So we're giving all this information, but now we want to give them some hope. If Lyme patients or IC patients are listening and they want to know, you know, what hope is there for me? You know, because I feel like if I've got Lyme, I might die, or if I've got IC, I'm going to live, and I don't really want to live like this the rest of my life. So what hope can you give them?
Well, there's lots of hope out there. You know, if you can treat all these components and figure all these components out that make your body ill, we see people respond very well.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in a short period of time, I think anywhere from 3 months to a year.
Yes.
Which, you know, we've seen some very ill people.
Mm-hmm. I was one of them.
Yeah, you were. And, you know, and people who have come to us, you know, on disability, and they're, you know, now working. And so there's lots of hope out there. But again, the thing I just want to stress is you don't just give antibiotics or pain medicine.
Mm-hmm.
If you have IC, it's pain medicine, or, you know, H2, you know, you don't just do the med part, because you'll only get to a certain level, and that's the only place you're going to get. You won't ever get completely 100%. You really have to deal with this multi-approach treatment to really get people where they need to be, which is well.
But if they work on those components, they should, in all likelihood, get better.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Seen that. We've actually seen people that they weren't getting, you know, they were just given no hope.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they come to us and we've done very well with them. My husband calls our clinic the Clinic of Last Resort, if that tells you anything.
Well, for me, I had been everywhere trying to figure out why I wasn't recovering after I had been diagnosed of being cancer-free. And I was so frustrated because I really thought I was crazy because the Lyme had affected my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, somebody recommended you. I came to see you, and you let me know I may be acting crazy, but there was a reason, a medical reason.
Yes.
And since that time, I think I'm maybe 70% better than where I was when I first started to see you now 2 years ago. So that's very hopeful for me and for other people.
Oh, yeah. You're doing really good, Melanie. I remember you sitting in my office saying, I'm just never going to be able to do anything again. And I said, oh, no, that's not true.
Uh-huh.
And you looked at me like I was a little crazy.
Because that's what I believed. I thought that it was a permanent situation that I was in. So I'm very thankful it is not. So if people want to contact you to see about making an appointment, how would they do that?
Well, again, of course, we're here in Tallahassee. The name of our facility is called the Medical Healing Center, and our phone number is 850-309-1665.
Mm-hmm. And you're there Monday through Thursday?
We're there Monday through Thursday, exactly. Yeah.
From 9 to 5.
From 9 to 5, but it's usually later than that.
Right, but we're going to cut it off at 5.
Yeah, we cut it off
home and have a life after work. So.
True.
But I appreciate very much you taking time out of your very busy schedule to do this.
This is a pleasure, just getting the word out. I mean, there's so many sick folks out there. It's just so sad. And you know, and I don't know. I just want to help people. It's a joy. It's a pleasure.
Well, good. Well, we'll think about having you come back to give more specifics about the types of treatment for the different symptoms that people have.
That'd be great. I'd love to share that.
Okay.
Hello, this is Dr. Melanie from the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. I'm with Pat Crescito of Desert Harvest. Desert Harvest Aloe Vera Gelée stopped my Lyme disease itch almost instantaneously when I applied it. And their capsules helped relieve the interstitial cystitis burning in my pelvic and bladder region. Pat, tell us about your aloe vera products.
Thank you, Dr. Melanie. First, let me tell you that Desert Harvest doesn't make any health claims regarding any of their products. Even though we're committed to scientific research, we're not healthcare professionals. The suggestions of products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Remember that Desert Harvest products are intended to complement and not replace the instructions of your doctor. And so the following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. You know, Dr. Melanie, it was such a revelation to learn about how our super strength aloe vera capsules and our Desert Harvest GLA have helped both your IC and Lyme disease. Research has shown that the active ingredient in the aloe plant, it's a glycosaminoglycan, we're going to call it GAG for short, is very similar to the GAG layer of the bladder that's compromised by IC. But these polysaccharides are an important component of connective tissue throughout the body. They're critical for the structural integrity of cartilage, bone, elastic tissue like skin and membranes. They modulate the viscosity of bodily fluids. And they're important for cell growth and for normalizing the bioexchange of electrolytes, oxygen, and nutrients between capillaries and cells. That's why we believe our aloe vera can help both IC and Lyme disease, among other disorders.
So what are the actual benefits of the capsules and gel?
All right. Picture opening an aloe vera leaf and gently rubbing it on the sunburn. Humans have been doing that for centuries. We know that aloe vera reduces the redness, which is the inflammation. It eases the pain. The aloe vera plant contains pain-relieving properties. And it speeds healing of the skin. It has a modulating effect on the immune system. Well, our Desert Harvest GLA would have the same effect on your Lyme rash.
Okay, so Lyme disease and interstitial cystitis can share some similar symptoms, such as bladder dysfunction, irritable bladder and bowel, pelvic pain, burning and stabbing sensations, fatigue, and disturbed sleep. How can your products help with these symptoms?
Because of all the various properties in the aloe plant, there's over 200 different ingredients. It has a lot of benefits for a lot of different types of things. First of all, aloe vera is an antimicrobial. It can kill viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Secondly, research at the University of Texas has shown that concentrated aloe vera can raise T-cell count in AIDS patients, which means it acts directly on components of the immune system. Did you know that concentrated aloe vera can reach the deepest body tissues and that it acts as a carrier? For instance, if you apply an ordinary lotion to your skin, it usually penetrates only two layers of the skin. If you apply concentrated aloe vera gel to your skin and combine it with something like, say, vitamin E, it will penetrate all seven layers of the skin and bring the vitamin E with it. Now, picture those same skin benefits on the inside of your body. The same thing happens in the gut. Research has shown that taking concentrated aloe vera with your daily multivitamin will increase the levels of certain vitamins in your bloodstream for up to 48 hours. That means the building blocks your body needs to heal itself become more available to the cells for a longer period of time, which is why aloe vera is considered a detoxifier.
So we internally get to soothe our pelvic, bladder, and bowel regions and potentially kill off viruses that come with the Lyme disease. We get to build up our immune system with more long-lasting nutrients in our bodies to help it function at a better level. But should people expect a detox effect when they first take your capsules?
You know, it can happen, especially in Lyme patients, more so than other patients even. In about 2% of our IC patients, we've worked with about 50,000 of them, have recorded what's sometimes called a die-off reaction, Herzheimer's reaction, healing crisis in the first few weeks of taking our concentrated aloe vera capsules. When your body begins to heal, it will automatically begin making new, healthier cells, and it must then dispose of the dead, replace cells or toxins. It's got to get rid of all that stuff. So the healing crisis can occur when your body tries to eliminate toxins at a faster rate than it can dispose of them. And then such reactions are temporary, though, and they only last a couple of days, usually 1 to 3 days. But on rare occasions, it can last several weeks, depending on how sick you are and how long, you know, you've been sick. It's important to get through a thorough medical checkup if your symptoms don't subside very quickly, though. If you're still sick after a couple of weeks, you may want to talk to your doctor. You may be having a medical problem instead of a healing crisis. So that's something to be concerned about.
So is there anybody that shouldn't take your concentrated aloe vera?
Because we remove the anthraquinones from our products, they're safe for anybody to take. I even gave them to my 18-month-old grandson when he had his eczema flare. Because aloe vera hasn't been studied in pregnancy, however, we can't recommend that pregnant women take our concentrated aloe vera just because it's not been studied in pregnant women. But other than that, they're safe for just about anybody.
Okay, so how can they find out more information and order your products?
Well, you can order through your website at thedrmelanieshow.com. For more scientific information, they can go to our website at desertharvest.com. Click on the physician's portal for hundreds of research articles alphabetized by disease and body system type. Our customer service reps are also available to answer questions Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Mountain Time at 1-800-222-3901.
Remember, to order Desert Harvest products, you can go also to thedrmelanieshow.com, click on the Store tab, and then the Desert Harvest tab. It'll take you to their website, desertharvest.com, 1-800-222-3901. Order today.
Symptoms of interstitial cystitis can often be confused with other well-known pelvic conditions, such as endometriosis, such as chronic prostatitis, and simply a urinary tract infection.
Increasingly, doctors are turning to natural therapies to treat IC symptoms. Aloe vera is a leading treatment for relief. Patient Ileana Brockman has had her IC under control for years.
IC patients are under a lot of stress. They are in considerable pain. They can't sleep. They're in the bathroom all the time, yet they have to take care of their families. They still have to work. They have to go on with life as they did before.
With interstitial cystitis, one of the problems is urgency, frequency, and severe pain. And it appears that the aloe itself coats the bladder and gives these anti-inflammatory analgesic properties directly to the bladder. Right now, I think Desert Harvest is the only concentrated aloe product that actually has a good phase one trial that would be supportive in medical literature.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. There might be a possible connection to Lyme and IC, since 57% of the respondents to the IC survey say they have both. Let's hear Mona Schlossberg tell us her story of having both diseases.
Today, I am talking with Mona Schlossberg. Is that a correct way to pronounce it, Mona?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and I've known you for a number of years because we both have interstitial cystitis, and now, unfortunately, we both have Lyme disease, so I'm sorry that you have that additional diagnosis.
I do. Melanie, I had IC 25, I was diagnosed 25 years ago with interstitial cystitis. You want me to go on? Okay. I have vulvodynia as well. Mm-hmm. I've learned to live with it and have a life with it. And of course was able to, I would say I have a high tolerance for pain.
Yeah, we learned to do that. Yes.
Right. And, I got Lyme about, did not have a so I am not sure at what point I got it. I some arthritic pains, which I wasn't paying a lot of attention to because of age. I thought it was age related, and then it went into my knees, and my knees had been recently I had knee surgery, and so no joint in the knee. I kind of knew that this Lyme doctor, and initially I was tested for the Western blot, which is the most commonly used test,
right.
And it wasn't definitive.
Mm-hmm.
But
which is common to not have it be definitive, yes.
Right, but he was very cooperative and put me on medication because it was highly suspicious. And I went on amoxicillin for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I changed doctors, but really for no particular reason,
mm-hmm.
Except that I was seeing a Lyme doctor specifically, and I wanted a internist with experience with infectious disease who would look at me more generally.
Yes.
And he retested me, and they came up with 5 bands, which is the CDC criteria for a definitive diagnosis of Lyme disease. I mean, clearly I never saw a tick bite or a rash.
Okay.
But kind of happily, because it makes for a better case to say that, yes, you have the 5 bands, because it sort of leaves it to less debate among other doctors.
Right.
So he treated me with doxycycline for several months.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of facial pain and numbness, mm-hmm. and arthritic pain, and I think probably the worst of it was fatigue.
Yes.
And how it affected the IC is on 2 levels.
Okay.
The greater issue was long-term use of antibiotics created chronic yeast infections.
Oh, yes.
And I found that extremely stressful, going in and out of doctors,
mm-hmm.
for that.
Did they give you a probiotic for that?
I was on probiotics from the start, but
okay.
And pretty good watch of the diet, you know,
uh-huh.
keeping sugar out.
Right.
But the amount of antibiotics over the long term, I was treated about 20 months,
mm-hmm.
and there were so many antibiotics that it overwhelmed any positive course of nutrition and probiotics I was taking.
Mm-hmm.
The bladder was somewhat affected, not as bad as it might have been, but
okay.
I did, I think, more from stress.
Yes.
Because I never knew when it was going to go away. And in some ways found it more stressful than Lyme, because once I did get diagnosed with Lyme, I kind of, and read about it, I learned about it and
mm-hmm.
Developed coping mechanisms. And while I knew I would have it all my life, there were some medications, and it just wasn't quite as open-ended for me or as frightening to me as Lyme was.
Uh-huh.
With
the IC, you're not going to die. With the Lyme, you can.
Well, and for me, the fatigue of the Lyme limited me in a way. I felt that I dealt better with pain,
uh-huh.
and not having fatigue than fatigue. Fatigue really kind of took me out of some activities, whereas I've always been able to manage the Lyme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still had some energy,
okay.
except on very bad days, you know. But basically, I've managed the IC with Elmeron and Elavil for a time, and so I basically had it somewhat managed. And there were flare-ups,
yes.
but I had good coping mechanisms for that. And
you think having the IC all these years has helped you to cope better with getting the Lyme?
Well, only that I had a better pain tolerance,
okay.
but I have to say it was like I was very unhappy about getting another disease.
Right.
I had had knee surgery. I had other things going on, other health issues in my life, and so I think that there was a certain lack of coping mechanisms.
Uh-huh. I gotcha.
Instead of being, I would say that the IC took me through double knee surgery, some macular degeneration in my eyes, and some hearing issues, and, you know, other kinds of things that went on in my life, for vulvodynia. But I think when I got to this stage and I got this really dreadful disease, I felt a little bit worn out by having to cope. So I think my coping mechanisms generally work for a really long time, but this one seemed a little bit overwhelming to me.
Okay.
But I'm here.
Yes. And do you see a connection between the IC and Lyme? Do you think that there's any common factors between them?
No. Other than, am I, or are we in a group that is more vulnerable to, is our immune system such that a tick bite for us is more serious and, and can cause a longer case and longer treatment? But I think if you study a Lyme population, that probably could be disputed, that there are a lot of healthy people who are battling it for many years. So, you know, I always question my, you know, is my immune system under attack, and does that have some connection with IC?
Okay.
But it hasn't been proven.
All right. So if somebody is just newly diagnosed with either IC or Lyme, or found out they just have both, what kind of hope can you offer them?
Okay. I thoroughly believe when a young person gets IC, they go on with their lives. My credo has been, if I have pain, I'm better off going to a movie or being with friends, taking some care and downtime, but that being home and in pain is taking you out of life, so that you are distracted when you're with people and you're not missing out, so to speak. So I have, over the years, traveled. I've had flare-ups on trips, you know, but basically I felt that I wasn't cheated from doing most of the things I wanted to do.
Good.
So I think I did develop very strong coping mechanisms, and I found that trying to have a normal life made me function better and deal with it better.
Okay.
And,
well, Mona, it's unfortunately time for us to take a break. So I thank you for sharing your story with us. And if people have questions, I'll have them contact me and I'll send them on to you. Would that be okay?
Yes, it would.
All right.
The same goes for Lyme. Coping, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Melanie.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Symptoms of interstitial cystitis can often be confused with other well-known pelvic conditions, such as endometriosis, such as chronic prostatitis, and simply a urinary tract infection.
Increasingly, doctors are turning to natural therapies to treat IC symptoms. Aloe vera is a leading treatment for relief. Patient Ileana Brockman has had her IC under control for years.
IC patients are under a lot of stress. They are in considerable pain. They can't sleep. They're in the bathroom all the time, yet they have to take care of their families. They still have to work. They have to go on with life as they did before.
With interstitial cystitis, one of the problems is urgency, frequency, and severe pain. And it appears that the aloe itself coats the bladder and gives these anti-inflammatory analgesic properties directly to the bladder. Right now, I think Desert Harvest is the only concentrated aloe product that actually has a good phase one trial that would be supportive in medical literature.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with. reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We're looking at the possible connection between Lyme and IC. Tom Savage will now share his experience of living with both of these illnesses.
Well, listeners, we are talking today to Tom Savage, a person who, like me, has Lyme and interstitial cystitis. So thank you, Tom, for agreeing to tell your story.
Thank you for having me on the show, Dr. Melanie.
Oh, you're most welcome. Tell the listeners when you were bitten by the Lyme tick.
Well, I'm not sure when I was bitten. I believe I was bitten around the year 2000,
mm-hmm.
because I had some weird health problems at that time, and I didn't relate it to a tick bite. I did not get a rash,
mm-hmm.
the bullseye,
mm-hmm.
and I was diagnosed in 2005 with Lyme.
Okay. That's a long wait to figure out what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah, for me it was similar. The last time I was bitten was 2003, and I wasn't diagnosed till 2010.
That's even longer.
Uh-huh. So, did your interstitial cystitis begin before the tick bite or after?
Yes, it did. It began before. I'm assuming that the tick bite started in 2000s, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't know at the time until I got diagnosed with in 2005 with Lyme.
Mm-hmm.
But the IC problem started around 2002.
Oh, okay. So is it possible maybe you were bitten before?
Yeah, I believe I was definitely bitten before 2002 because I had certain issues around the year 2000.
Okay.
And I had a job that I was doing a lot of outdoor work, and I suspect that's when I was bitten.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably, you know, the bacteria lay dormant. For me to realize that I didn't have a Lyme problem, but I did have a bladder problem.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't relate anything to, you know, at the time to, you know, the bladder problem with being bitten from a tick.
Mm-hmm. But looking back now, you think there could be a connection?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was diagnosed in 2005 by a Lyme literate physician, and he thought that my IC was either caused from or has a big, you know, symptoms from Lyme.
Well, that's unusual that a doctor would admit that and recognize it, because often they're so specialized in what they do that they only look at the area that they're an expert.
He was Lyme literate.
Okay.
And doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen symptoms. And IC is on that list.
Oh, I haven't seen that list. I'd like to see that list.
Yep.
Perhaps you can send it to me. Well, that's very interesting. I'm glad to hear that. Can you explain to listeners what a Lyme literate doctor is? Because people who don't have Lyme don't know what that means.
It's a physician that is educated with the bacteria that infects the human body through a tick. And the Lyme literate doctor usually goes by the guidelines from ILADS.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's controversial. The Lyme literate doctors usually prescribe long-term antibiotics as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is not something that those who aren't well-versed in this subject understand,
right,
that you need the long-term antibiotics.
Absolutely.
So what kind of symptoms besides your IC symptoms has the Lyme created in your body?
Well, I have some joint pain.
Mm-hmm.
I have tendonitis.
Mm-hmm.
I've had slight tremor of my hands, fatigue,
mm-hmm,
you know, a feeling of being sick.
Yeah.
It, you know, I was told that Lyme likes emotion.
Uh-huh.
So any kind of anxiety, whether it's good or bad, can bring out symptoms. I did have a couple of strange symptoms. One year I felt like I was getting very itchy. My skin was itchy, and
mm-hmm,
it continued to get. This happened during the summer, and at the beginning of the summer I started, my skin was getting itchy, and as the summer drew on, it felt more like a sunburn.
Hmm.
And at the time I was on Biaxanil and Plaquenil.
Mm-hmm.
The Plaquenil. And at the end of the summer, I couldn't take it anymore. I could barely wear a shirt.
Oh.
And I got in touch with my Lyme literate doctor at the time, and I said, please switch me over. I had been on tetracycline, and with tetracycline, you know, I never got that skin issue.
Mm-hmm.
So he switched me over to tetracycline, and within 3 days, my skin problem was gone.
Huh.
Then a couple of years ago, I, at the tip of my tongue, I felt like I had burnt my tongue, and it got to the point where I actually went to the emergency room, and they didn't see anything wrong. They didn't take any blood either, blood work.
Mm-hmm.
But I called my Lyme literate physician at the time, and he said, that's from Lyme.
Oh,
so,
oh.
That was a new one on me. I've never heard anything like,
mm-hmm,
that.
Yeah, like you, I had a blistering across my chest area, but they didn't relate it to Lyme. They didn't test me for Lyme. And then I got the rash that I have had since the last day I was bitten, which was June the 10th, 2003. I had it until a month ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I tried.
That's a long time.
Everything. But I finally found some things that are helping that to stay away.
That's good.
So people don't understand how all-encompassing this
is. It's endemic.
Can be. Yes. Yes.
Endemic.
Yes.
My skin issue, I never, there was no rash.
Mm-hmm.
I even went to the skin doctor, and he said he gave me some kind of cream, but he says there's nothing showing.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's nothing to look at. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, they did a biopsy on me on the bite spot and found,
yep,
that it was an acronid, but they didn't even say, oh, it could be a tick. They just thought,
no,
well, it must have been a spider, and they did not put me on antibiotics. They put me on steroids, which is not what you're supposed to do.
That's the worst thing.
Yeah, do. Yeah, because once the steroids wore off, things were much, much worse. But, you know, I have tried to go back and educate those doctors, but I get no response from them.
No.
So hopefully if somebody else comes into their practice with the same kind of symptoms, maybe they will at least think about, could this be Lyme?
I think a good doctor has an open mind and that will listen to you, spend some time with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. Do you see two different physicians for the interstitial cystitis and the Lyme, or do you see the same doctor for both?
No, I see a urologist for the IC.
Uh-huh.
And currently I'm going to a naturopathic doctor.
Oh. Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was, you know, I've been on mostly tetracycline.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped taking tetracycline last June to try a new protocol. I was going to a practitioner that practices flower essences.
Uh-huh.
So, you've heard of Dr. Bach?
Yes.
He developed flower essences.
Yes.
Through the fall, and that was, I don't think that helped me too much. In fact, he suggested a naturopathic doctor in my area, and we've worked together. I like her very much. She's having me take some supplements, and I do castor oil packs, Epsom salt baths. I do dry body brushing.
Hmm.
And I take this Cowden protocol, which was developed by Dr. Cowden.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be helping. At times, you have good days and bad days, and the bad days you're like, oh, God, I don't know if it's helping or not. But I think generally it is helping.
Well, good.
And I keep telling myself I've been off antibiotics for now almost a year, and I'm still here.
Great.
Surviving.
Well, good. Well, Tom, if somebody heard your story and wanted more information from you, how would you like them to reach you?
They can reach me and at I created an email account just for that.
Oh, okay.
But it's TECS1.
Okay.
@verizon.net.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to shoot an email with a question that they think I could help them with, I'd be glad to answer.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. This is most informative, and I hope you do get some people corresponding with you.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Well, it's time to go to a break.
For those who have not yet had a confirmed Lyme diagnosis, this is what Angela Myers recommends.
I recommend that you get a Lyme test. You can get it. You want to pick a company that does a lot, frequent Lyme testing. So we use Igenix, we use Fry Laboratories. They're very good. I also will use LabCorp Quest, doing a Lyme Western blot, checking both the IgG and the IgM, but I usually do it with a with somebody taking, it's called an antibiotic provocation test, where you take antibiotic for 2 weeks just to kind of stir up the Lyme to get it in the blood so it can be caught easier. But if you have a negative one, that doesn't mean you don't have Lyme. So just remember that. The CDC says you don't have to have a positive Lyme test because it's hard to get.
Okay.
You just have to have clinical history and symptoms.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. That may help some people who need to go find out.
Okay. It's time to wrap up today's show. I want to thank Desert Harvest for sponsoring today's show. To order their products, you can go to my website, thedrmelanieshow.com, click on the store links tab and then the Desert Harvest banner, and it'll take you directly to their site. If you've got IC, go to www.ichelp.org. Got Lyme? Go to www.limenet.org to find out what's available in your state. This Saturday, April 14th, is my webinar. It's about the recovery from the breakup of a long-term relationship. If you wonder, why me? Why at this time in my life? Why do I feel so abandoned, especially if you're somebody who has sickness? Will I ever move on? Yes, you can. The first 10 people that email me at drmelaniebarton@gmail.com can come free to the seminar. And then I'll email you the call-in instructions, and I'll tell you if you're one of the 10. But even if you're not, if you still email me at drmelaniebarton@gmail.com, I'll give it to you at a reduced cost. Next week, authors Jennifer O'Neill and Susan Taylor Shire We'll talk about their books as it relates to our soul DNA and soul reunion. And I also want you to email me your comments about this episode. Let me know how you cope. I really do want to hear from you. Remember to help yourself help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.